Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by just say your name and your title at the library.
It's Roswell Encina, Chief Communications Officer at the Library of Congress.
Yes, and we are here talking what is now an annual tradition here. We preview the slate for the Library of Congress's annual summer movies on the lawn. It's a really cool lineup, and we'll get to the actual movies individually in a second. But first of all, big picture for me, like how many years have you all been doing this?
We've been doing this since 2017. When Dr. Hayden became Librarian of Congress, she really wanted to make the library more accessible and relatable. And, you know, we have a beautiful lawn outside our Thomas Jefferson building where you could see the sunset with a nice view of the Capitol building. So from there, we took advantage of it. And since then, it's been very popular, not only among Hill staffers, but among folks in the community at first, like people living around Capitol Hill. But I think it's become a really big DC tradition of coming down to the Hill to watch movies on the lawn of the Library of Congress.
Absolutely. And there are, while there are a ton of outdoor movie screenings around town, which I love, I go to all of them, folks. There's only one where you can see the Capitol building right behind. I mean, it's like the old screen of the Green Days, except you're just sort of on the other side, but it's perfect. I'm so glad to have it back there, something on Capitol Hill to watch these things.
Absolutely.
And also one more sort of big picture overview thing before we get to the actual lineup. Also talk about what makes this unique too is that it's the Library of Congress pulling selections from the National Film Registry. Sort of talk about how it's a chance to sort of showcase that.
That is correct. All the films since 2017 have been films taken from the Library of Congress National Film Registry. Every year, we pick 25 films to be added to the registry. Many of them are classics, from The Wizard of Oz to Gone with the Wind to new classics like, Aladdin or Beauty and the Beast to, Love and Basketball. So we believe there's something for everyone, and we have, decades worth of movies to choose from, and we believe it's an opportunity to talk about film preservation, but most importantly, to have a fun time with that could be really intergenerational.
Absolutely. All right. Well, without further ado, let's go into the actual lineup, and we'll go one at a time. So don't feel like you have to rattle them off. You and I will geek out on each one individually. And if you could, when I throw out the title, mention the year that I got inducted in the film registry too, if you have it handy. All right.
Absolutely.
So it kicks off July 11th with arguably probably the movie I've seen more than any other in my life, because I watched this on repeat as a kid. The Wizard of Oz, 1939. Why is this the perfect family-friendly one for all generations to kick it off here?
It's a big year for The Wizard of Oz because it turns 85 years old this summer, also with the release of Wicked later this year. I think there's a lot of hype in going back to this, the original story of Oz. It was inducted to the National Film Registry in 1989. So I think, every time we tried to show this movie, it gets so much enthusiasm, whether it's from the older generation or to new folks discovering the film. People are singing along, some people are even dressing up. So it's definitely become a classic.
Absolutely. I mean, few movies have as many quotable lines and it's amazing and songs and I mean, Over the Rainbow is probably the greatest movie song of all time, probably. And it's amazing how well the visuals hold up too, like even the tornado, and for a movie that came out in the 30s, it is unbelievable how much this thing is it'll be around forever.
So. And movie making wise, this is one of the first movies that was really in, full color. So it really did dazzle 85 years ago. And we're a little selfish here, too. The Library of Congress also has a connection to the film. The library just recently acquired the papers of Harold Arlen. If you don't know who Harold Arlen is, he is the composer behind many of the most popular songs from that movie. So we're hoping while we're showing the movie right before it, we could show some facsimiles of some of his papers on how some of these songs were written.
Wow. So he wrote the music for Over the Rainbow, right? Along with Yip Harburg. Won the Oscar for it, I believe. So yeah, incredible. Incredible. We could sing the movie start to finish probably if we all right, but let's move on to the next one. All right, July 18th. Another one of my all-time favorites, An American in Paris, 1951, Gene Kelly, Leslie Caron, Vincent Minnelli. I absolutely love this movie, and everyone, you know, everyone always points to, you know, Singing in the Rain the following year is probably, you know, arguably the greatest movie musical ever, but right before American in Paris, that won Best Picture in 51. So why would we go with this one? It's a great one.
We're starting off with An American in Paris. It's our kind of tribute to the Olympics. You know, many people will have a choice of either coming to the lawn, watch a movie, or stay at home to watch the Olympics the next couple of weeks there and later in July. So we're hoping it's our tribute for folks. You could get the best of both worlds. Enjoy Paris on the lawn, but also enjoy this American classic. It's not only, you know, remembered for the actors who performed in it, but because of the music. You know, this is classic George Gershwin. You know, as you know, the Library of Congress is the home of George and Ira Gershwin's papers. But so many of these songs that you hear from this movie resonate, that people tend to forget that they originated from this beautiful movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You know, you get Gene Kelly singing "I Got Rhythm," the whole thing. It's wonderful. It's marvelous. And then I think my favorite moment is when they do, you know, that soft shoe dance by the River Seine to, you know, "It's very clear our love is here to stay." It's a movie moment for the ages, if you ask me.
Exactly. That dance, I think it runs for more than 15 minutes, which is dialogue free. It's become very iconic. That entire dance between Gene Kelly and Leslie Caron is really kind of what's kind of embedded in our psyche when it comes to this movie.
Absolutely. That dance is incredible. And then later in the movie too, and not to go too much on this, but later on, there's that iconic Dream Ballet, which is, you know, you'd see, you know, newer movies like La La Land and stuff try to, you know, homage that, reference that. But in this, you got Minnelli just going all out in this really like, it almost detaches from the actual plot of the movie for a minute, but it's like this swirling imagery and dance. And, it's super iconic.
It really goes back to the golden age of, you know, big MGM productions. And this is, you know, the quintessential MGM production. You know, the dancing, the sets, the music. It really is, you know, Hollywood at its best.
Absolutely. And I'm pretty sure that that year everyone thought that it was going to be either a Streetcar Named Desire or A Place in the Sun was going to win, and a lot of people think they split the vote and American in Paris slid in for the best picture win.
Yeah, a lot of people, you know when you every Oscar season there's always these websites that tells you which, you know, movie should have won the Oscar and right. And which ones probably didn't deserve it, but you know, during this time, you know, I think, you know, we're all talking about them, so they're clearly best picture in every capacity.
It is a great one. Everyone has to check it out. All right, and then week three, July 25th, Love and Basketball. This is the newest one that's going to be on the lineup this year. And I would, you know, it's almost a quarter century old now. It came in 2000, so I think we're pretty close to being able to call it a classic after a quarter century. But yeah, like a modern favorite, a rom com, a sports movie, and directed by the great Gina Prince Bythewood of The Woman King in recent years. But yeah, why'd you all? Well, A, when did it get inducted, and B, why is it so perfect for this?
So it's one of the newer ones that were inducted. It was inducted last year, and we're going with the sports theme because of the Olympics. And as you mentioned, it's become a classic. It's almost a quarter of a century old. Everybody remembers this movie with Omar Epps, and I think with the popularity of not only men's basketball, but women's basketball. This is one of those fewer movies, especially back in the day, that really featured a female athlete. The popularity of you know, Caitlin Clark right now, and how the fictional female basketball player in this movie really surged, and you showed her trajectory and with the backdrop of their love story. I think it was very unique at that time. And I think till this day, people still love watching it.
Absolutely. It is a modern favorite for sure. Really smart move picking it. It's going to be a blast.
And I think it showed a time, you know, what there was very, you know, at that time, there, you know, rom-coms really centered on, you know, white couples. This was a chance to be very inclusive and show a Black young couple in a love story. And I think that really resonated towards a great audience and big
Oh,
audience.
absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I guess you had, you know, there was like, you know, Love Jones in 97, but then right after that, yeah, it's Love and Basketball in 2000. I mean, it was, we were starting to notice a shift into a little more inclusivity on people getting to see, you know, themselves represented on screen. Again, obviously it's a battle that continues to go on. Those are just some early examples and, you know, tragically took way too long. It had to take to the end of the 20th century to start getting some, but hopefully we'll
And speaking
keep getting more.
of inclusivity, this people tend to forget this movie was directed by a woman, and I think that really kind of solidifies the power of this movie.
Oh yeah, I loved The Woman King that Gina Prince Bythewood made a couple years ago. I thought it was great. So if you like that, go back and check out, you know, her early work in Love and Basketball. One you know a powerful moment for female directors. All right,
Indeed.
the penultimate, second to last one will be August 1st. One of my all-time favorites. I smile just reading this title. I get goosebumps just thinking about the music. Rocky from 1976. One of the rare movies that, you know, both won Best Picture and you know the box office that year. You know, that doesn't happen very often anymore. But yeah, why do we go with Rocky? It's one of my personal favorites ever.
We're sticking with a sports theme because of the Olympics, but and this movie was inducted into the National Film Registry in 2006. There's so much, why not Rocky? It's become so iconic. Everything about this movie has become iconic, whether it's the theme song or Sylvester Stallone screaming Adrian, or or climbing up those steps in Philadelphia. Everybody remembers something from this movie, and whatever they remember is also very iconic. And not counting that this, movie started a whole franchise that till this day, they're still making movies of. So I think, everybody loves looking back at this movie. As you mentioned, you could either be a sports fan, a boxing fan, or somebody just into the love story part, or, just somebody rooting for the underdog. This movie has everything.
Thanks for saying that, because it is a love story with Rocky and Adrian. And you know what, everybody? The last line is not, you know, and your winner, Rocky, because A, he loses. So spoiler alert from 76. But no, my point is the last line is I love you. I love you. It is totally a love story.
And I think that's what made it genius, was Rocky not winning. Back then we really wanted our kind of the main character of the movie to always win, and that was always the case sometimes. But I think that's what made this movie, I almost say realistic, but it really made it relatable.
Yeah, because all he wanted to do was go the distance with Creed. No one's ever gone the distance. So the fact that he's still standing at the end, yeah, we do see Apollo raise his hand, and you sort of you hear the announcer declare Apollo the winner, but that almost sort of fades to the background, and the whole focus of the camera and the swelling music and everything and is on these two lovers that come together in the ring, and they're so proud of each other, these two underdogs. And the movie won, you know, the movie was an underdog winner too. It gosh, it knocked out a, you know, like a murderer's row of like All the President's Men and Network and, you know, The Omen
Yeah.
and Carrie and all these great movies from 76.
There are so many great movies that year. I
Taxi
mean,
Driver.
exactly. You could argue for each movie, it's not for me to say which one's better than the others, but each one of those movies from this year, from 1976, were very iconic. And this did start the career of Sylvester Stallone, which really he became a household name. So Sylvester Stallone has been a household name for nearly 50 years.
And he wrote the movie, folks. So it's incredible. All of it, the making of, is such an underdog story. And a chance to see Apollo Creed, Carl Weathers, who just passed away too earlier this year.
We're also hoping, because we have our iconic steps, to the front door of the Library of Congress, that people would, run up the steps and play the theme song and have some fun with it while we're doing this movie.
Yes, run the steps, and you have to do the pose at the top, everybody.
Have to. I wish I could promise that we could provide some boxing gloves, but let me see what I can do.
No, you can do, you can, I can just do the pose. That would be great.
Yes.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. All right. And then last but not least, the final one on August 8th is Disney animated classic, Lady and the Tramp, 1955. Everyone knows the famous, you know, pasta noodle, you know, bringing the dogs together for the kiss. Why'd we go with this one? Because it's one of your more recent additions, I think.
It is another one of the more recent ones. It was inducted last year in 2023. Again, as you mentioned, that iconic scene just between the lady and the tramp with that, with that spaghetti. People have been reenacting that since this movie came out. There was a live version of this a couple of years ago. So I think people are still, still relating to this movie. And it's hard to believe that this movie came out in 1955. And just going with the whole Olympic and Paris theme, and staying in Europe here, I think we're keeping that mood of keeping everyone kind of romanticizing time in Europe.
Ah, so that ties back into the Paris thing. I got you. The
Absolutely.
Bella Notte, the Paris Olympics. Okay, I got it. I got it. This nice, nice, nicely themed. All right. Well, I have more than enough to work with. Final seconds. Just pretend I'm not here and talk directly to the listeners. Invite them out, and just and tell anything they need to know. Like, it's free. Bring a lawn chair or a picnic blanket, picnic basket. Sell it to them as like something fun to go do.
Come visit us at the Library of Congress this summer. I know it's going to be hot, but we're going to have a fun time on our lawn with these classic movies. Bring your picnic basket, bring a blanket, bring some bug spray, and we'll definitely have a great time at the Library of Congress this summer.
Awesome. Roswell, always a treat getting to do this every year. And great picks on the movies this year again, as always. All
Thank you. We hope to have you there soon.
right, sounds good. Thanks again.
Thanks, Jason.